Nesting is a term you may hear during a divorce. It's where the parents rotate staying in the house so the children don't have to be uprooted. Although there are no statistics here in the U.S. that indicate how many couples have experimented with this arrangement, a recent U.K. study by Coop Legal Services suggested 11% of divorced or separated parents have tried it. Now, why might some couples opt to stay in the home as their estranged spouse? Well, research says economics plays a huge role, especially in today's economy, where according to the U.S. Department of Labor, the unemployment rate is at 4.30%, and according to CNBC, the inflation rate is at 2.9%. And unfortunately, many people continue to see prices go up, not down. If you can't afford to spend a lot more money on additional homes, you may want to consider a nesting arrangement. And here to explain all about it is attorney Lynn Strober. Lynn is a partner and co-chair for the Matrimonial and Family Law Practice Group at the New Jersey firm of Mandelbaum Barrett. For over four decades, Lynn has been representing clients in all types of divorce and family law cases, which is why she has been named Family Law Trailblazer by the National Law Journal. Lynn, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So let's start talking about the pros and cons of nesting. In your professional opinion, what would you say are some of the cons?
Some of the cons are it's too much back and forth. Parents are running into the house, bringing their belongings. They're spending a couple of days leaving the house. The other party's coming in and doing the same. They're packing, they're unpacking. Maybe they have items in a lock cabinet and they're nervous somebody, the other side, is going to try to pick the lock. There's a lack of privacy. Even for the children, there are different rules. You can have the same house, but when a mother's in the house, there may be certain rules. When a father's in the house, there may be different rules. So there still could be some confusion for the children. Obviously, you can't date very well when you're running in and out of a nesting agreement. And then ultimately, you get to some other situations, what I call the crumbs in the bed problems. When you're switching back and forth and there's different housekeeping, maybe the bed wasn't changed, the food in the refrigerator was eaten, there may be two wine glasses someplace, or lipstick stains on something, you find things. So there can be a discomfort with that. I had a case where crumbs in the bed did them in. And it's hard to do it for a long time, because the parents lose their sense of a home, and they're giving that up in return for trying to create stability for the children. And during a divorce or a separation if parties aren't married, communication is very difficult. And so it's hard for parties to address problems without getting upset. So it might be very upsetting to come home to the marital or family home and find that things are not, nobody cleaned up. And so it can create a difficult situation at times.
I like to end things on a happy note. So can you list some of the pros?
Of course. I think it's particularly helpful in certain situations with certain children. For example, if you have a child that has a mental health issue that makes it extremely difficult for them to adapt to change, it may be much easier for that child to remain in the house. And we see this sometimes. Or if you have a child that has a physical handicap and the house is made handicapped accessible for that child, in both of those situations, the child's special needs are benefited by the parents going along with this type of situation. From an economic perspective, it may save money. It gives the parents time to think about where they want to relocate, what they want to do, and it's sort of a pause. People don't want to run and buy a house impulsively. They want to think about where they want to be and what they want to do. The theory is it provides less change for the children, even if the children don't have special issues, because everything in their house is where it always has been. The toys are where they were. The food is where it is. And so it may be more comfortable for the children. It also can be an opportunity for parents to really be sure they want to separate permanently and there's no opportunity for reconciliation because they only have the one home. And when they come back to the home, it's a place that they may have some good memories from, and it may give them a separation that gives them a moment to pause and think about what they want to do. It also may be easier to co-parent because you're always focused on the children. And the plan that you come up with it will be fairly intricate to meet the specific needs of the family. And as a result, the parents may be less hostile after a while and more able to co-parent. It also keeps the children in the same school. Their friends can come over after school. It's the familial. The familiarity of the situation for the children, not only within the house, but within their community. And that may be a source of comfort for the children.
If a couple going through a divorce wants to test a nesting arrangement, why can it help creating a nesting plan to help avoid problems? And what should people put into this agreement?
So they can be fairly complicated. The first thing that you need to do, I think, is to make sure that if the parenting plan isn't working, that the parties have agreed in writing that they don't need to show a change in circumstances, which is usually the standard to change a custody agreement, and that this is temporary so that they can revisit it. And I would put in that only one parent has to say they're not happy with it. So one parent finds it really difficult to go back into the house all the time, and it's just not working for them. They should be able to pull the plug on this without having the other side argue that they're stuck with it. Because it's a temporary, and it should be a temporary agreement to be revisited to see if it's working. There needs to be a specific time schedule set out. And what happens if a parent is late? What happens if a child stays home from school? All the ifs should be addressed in the agreement so that everybody knows what's going on. There needs to be a certain level of communication. If the parent who's in the house runs out of coffee, who gets the coffee? Does the other party at least get told, by the way, I made too much coffee this morning, there's none left. If you want coffee, you should bring it. It goes from that. It goes from doing the wash. It goes from making sure that the children have what they need for the moment when the other parent's arriving. So it should be a very comprehensive, well-thought-out agreement. So parents really need to sit down at a table and work it through. And the question is, should they do that on their own? Should they get counsel? I think it's better to have counsel because it's a very emotional time to be getting a divorce. And it's emotional to try to figure out all these issues. And you're going to want somebody to make sure you didn't leave anything out and that all the issues are covered. You may want to deal with money. Who's going to pay for the cost of the house? Who's going to pay for where each party lives during the time when they're not in the nesting arrangement in the house? And who's going to pay for whatever the children are doing? So there are enormous issues that need to be addressed. And you don't want to spend, if you're trying to do this on a temporary basis, you don't want to spend 10 hours negotiating an agreement. So you want to do it reasonably and get some help to make sure that it covers everything. But you want to make sure that you can get out of it if you're not happy with it, because it's a unique approach and it may need to be modified. What happens if a parent breaks their leg and they're not able to run in and out of the house like this? Then there has to be an ability, and if anything comes up, that the parties will sit down and revisit the situation. It doesn't have to be, in New Jersey, it doesn't have to be filed with a court, but it needs to be a written agreement signed by the parties addressing all of this so that they have it. It can also be done as a consent order and filed with the court, but indicating that it's the party's intention that it can be reviewed at either party's election or after a period of time, and that it can be modified or discarded, basically, if the parties change their minds.
You say that the parties have to sign this and possibly file it with the court if they should choose to do so. Does that mean it also has to be signed by a judge?
No. Well, if it's submitted to the court as a consent order, if the court approves it, they would sign it. But the parties can enter into an agreement without sending it to court and use it as the rules and regulations for their nesting plan. It's negotiated between the parties. The statute doesn't provide for nesting. So it's a creative approach that is not, a court can't order this. If a party goes into court and says, I want my other partner to nest with me, court's going to say it's not in the statute. I can't mandate it. You can agree to it.
So that means if they agree to it and they sign this agreement and one of the parties decides to violate and not follow what they agreed to, they can't go to court for like an emergency hearing and say, hey, person two is not supposed to be doing this. Look, it's right here in the agreement. Is that
they
correct?
Can, even if it hasn't been previously turned into a consent order, you could go into court on an application for revision of the custody plan because a child's being harmed. For example, you have a nesting agreement. There has to be a real emergency. Supposing one parent is at the house and there's a fire. Or one parent's at the house and a child gets injured, or a child is extremely upset, goes to school and says, I can't take this anymore. My parents are running in and out of the house. They're acting like lunatics. Can you talk to them? And so something like that, you could still go in on an application to the court and ask for relief from the nesting agreement, because there would be provisions that if a party isn't satisfied with the nesting agreement or it's not working, that you could go and modify it. So this would be a request for modification. It has to be a fairly emergent situation for a court to consider it on an emergent application.
Last question, because we're running out of time. If a couple is nesting, can the party that doesn't make as much money as, let's say, the second party ask for temporary child and spousal support?
Yes, because you have, you can build that into the initial agreement, or you can put down in the agreement that support is not being addressed, but it's understood that there are expenses for both of the parties. They can either get a separate apartment that they're sharing and then rotate in and out of an apartment and rotate in and out of the house. They can each stay someplace else, but there are going to be a lot of expenses. And so it can be built into the agreement that the parties acknowledge that there may be open support issues that will need resolution in order to fund all of this.
Lynn, for people who want to get in touch with you and learn more, how do they do that?
They can call me, 973-243-7903. I'm at Mandelbaum Barrett PC in Roseland, New Jersey. Looking forward to talking to people.
Lynn, thank you so much for joining us. And when we come back, we're going to tell you about the award-winning singer who put a ring on it and is about to say, I do. Stick around.
When legal matters arise, you deserve the expertise of a seasoned professional who understands the intricacies of the law and is dedicated to achieving the best outcome for you. Look no further than Lynn Strober, attorney at Mandelbaum Barrett. Lynn handles all aspects of divorce and family law, including alimony, child support, difficult custody issues, clients with serious health issues, complex prenups, family law cases between unmarried parties, and unusual situations. Ms. Strober does her best to settle these matters to her client's satisfaction. Whether it's navigating complex litigation, negotiating settlements, or providing strategic counsel, Lynn Strober approaches every case with the care and attention it deserves. Lynn Strober believes in fighting for her clients and upholding their rights. Your legal needs are her priority, and Lynn's here to guide you through the process. Lynn's impact goes beyond the courtroom. She's a leader who has held top positions in multiple family law organizations. A respected authority, Lynn lectures to attorneys and judges on family law and has authored multiple articles on important and cutting-edge family law issues. Contact Lynn Strober today at Mandelbaum Barrett at 973 973- 973-736-4600. That's 973-736-4600. Or visit mblawfirm.com. That's mblawfirm.com.